Hey.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good, good. I've got a funny story before we started.
Sure.
Before we started, past tense already. Jesus. before we start here, I'm officially old. I took my kids to the supermarket today, and I parked on the top floor, which, you know, maybe people don't live here, don't understand. Like, there's always multi-level parking everywhere in Korea. So I just parked up top, it's easier, more spaces, and then they have these little shopping carts, you know, that are shaped like cars that the kids like.
Oh, yeah.
So I go there, and it's the fifth floor, so I, you know, get the kids in the cart, go to the elevator, and as we're waiting for the elevator, I full on undo the belt, undo the pants, and, you know, put the pants down and re-tuck in my shirt. And then pull the pants back up.
How far down were the pants?
They're not far down, but it was just still, it was the whole process. And I caught myself halfway through and I was like, oh man, this is, you know, it's officially halftime in my life. And it's like halftime is almost over, right? Yeah, like full on. I look at my daughter's face and she's looking at me. She's six, you know, and she's just giving me that face like, what? What are you doing? Like, it was more of a like, can you do that in public? I didn't know that was cool. So,
well, it's better than that 16-year-old child that's going to be just, Dad, what are you screaming at you?
Just wouldn't even be near me. Yeah. But, so I got that going for me.
Great.
Yeah. So how are you?
Feeling a little younger, I guess.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah, doing well. Just hockey.
Hockey is good.
Yeah. Just let's do it. Let's talk some hockey.
Yeah.
Before we start, I thought we'd mention a little something about the founder of Red Wing Central and better known as the founder of Cap Geek.
Yeah, and I saw that. We had mentioned that before when it went, you know, it went down, that I had heard somewhere. I didn't really know who this guy was. His name is Matthew West, and I just didn't know much about him. I obviously have learned a lot more in the last little while here, and especially today. But yeah, when it went down, it was, you know, we heard about this illness, and then yeah, he passed away. That's incredibly sad.
Passed away at 39 years old of colon cancer. Anyways, wanted to send out our condolences to
absolutely, yeah,
anyone and everyone who has ever been in touch with him or his feeling is the pain of the loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, on that note,
yeah,
let's talk hockey.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're pretty much coming up at the end of the season here. I was going to say the school year. Pretty much. Man.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I just started a semester and I'm already thinking about vacation. Oh,
yeah. What do we got? 13, 14 weeks to go? Something like
that. Yeah, 14 more weeks of lecturing to go. And then, so let's talk about the trophies.
Yeah.
The trophy race, the NHL trophy trackers. What do you got going for each trophy race? Let's start with, well, the easy ones. Let's start with the Vezina. Of course, I would think that it's a two-headed race, maybe even a third head coming in, but it's basically Carey Price and Pekka Rinne for the entire year, and now Devin Dubnyk is making a bit of a case by playing so many games in a row here.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that, because actually Price is sort of, I think the general consensus now is that it's just, he's a lock for the Hart Trophy as well. So I don't see how you can give him the Hart and not the Vezina, because that kind of doesn't make sense, right? He's clearly the best goalie in the league. He's the best goaltender in the world right now. Just absolutely lights out. But yeah, you got to give some love to Dubnyk as well. I mean, he's finally, what has Minnesota been missing, you know, all these years? They've been missing goaltending. They finally got it. He sort of solidifies that position there between the pipes. And, you know, they've been rolling. They've been really well, playing really well. 7-2 or 7-3? 7-3, I think, their last 10. They're looking like they're going to get that spot.
It's funny how people look at Dubnyk and his situation and him coming so late into the season as a number one and not willing to accept him as a candidate for Vezina or any kind of trophy. And yet he's had more of an impact on the Minnesota Wild than 90% of the players in the league on their own teams.
Yeah, for sure. It is tough, I think, because like you said, the games played, I think, is a real sticking point for a lot of people. But, you know, I was listening to, who was it, Jeff Merrick the other day, you know, of Sportsnet, Hockey Central at noon sometimes, Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast. He was talking about the Norris with Giordano. And, you know, Giordano was sort of the lock until he got injured. So he's not going to have enough games played where you can really consider voting for him. But if he had missed these games, you know, these 20 games at the beginning of the year, you know, and then came in and played this way, would that change the way people think of it? And I sort of feel that way with Dubnyk. Yeah, he missed this time in the beginning, but he's, since he's come in from Minnesota, he's just been incredible. I mean, you know,
there's another thing about Giordano, though, is that Calgary keeps on rolling without him.
Well, that too, yeah, because you got guys like Brody and Russell, and now you've got Goudreau, who we can get to him in the Calder as well. So, yeah.
Well, let's do that. Let's talk about the Calder. According to ESPN, the favorite is Philip Forsberg, but people could make a case for Johnny Goudreau and maybe even that D-man in Florida.
Yeah, Goudreau. Well, let's go to Forsberg first. You mentioned him. He's got 21 goals and 34 assists, so he's got 55 points. I've seen some people a little, these are all over the Twitters and whatnot, but they're not really voters, but voters might feel this way. I don't know. He did play 13 games last year, and I think he played a handful of games the season before, so...
Who did?
Forsberg.
So, Forsberg, yeah. I thought you were talking about Ekblad.
Yeah, no. So, you know, I could see how you could say, okay, Goudreau, Ekblad, these are true rookies here. Although I think Goudreau played maybe one game at the end of the season last year. I can't remember, but I think it was one or two games. But anyway, I mean, for me, that's not really... I mean, look, it's still within the guidelines, right, of being a rookie.
That's all that matters.
So, yeah, I mean... He's playing well, but yeah, I mean, Goudreau is, he just, and, they're both really exciting players. They really are.
And the thing about Forsberg, too, he didn't have any impact last year.
Yeah, and that, I mean? That wasn't this a very good team either, you know. You know, Goudreau now, the Calgary's, I don't know how they do it, but they keep winning, especially the way they do.
I meant Forsberg, wow. I meant Philip Forsberg didn't have an impact last year, even though he played all those games you were talking about.
Well, yeah, he didn't have an impact. He's, you know, just this baby-faced kid, right? Didn't do a whole lot. And then Goudreau, this guy's, you know, I think people love him because of his size too, right? Like, he's an incredible player.
It's a great
story.
He's
highly skilled. But yeah, it's a good story. He's a really small guy. He's everyone's favorite face. You know, this guy's 150 pounds, soaking wet.
If he can do it, then anybody can do it, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, so he's got 56 points now, and I think he's played maybe two or three less games than Forsberg. But for me, I would give it to Ekblad.
I think it's a no-brainer. I don't know why people are talking about Forsberg and Goudreau in the same league as Ekblad, because Ekblad is playing at, you know, he's playing a number one D position on a Florida team that's, I mean, is out of the playoff race right now.
Yeah,
but he's having an impact on a position that's incredibly hard to play.
It's the hardest, you know. I mean, other than a goaltender, but you don't. How many 18-year-old goaltenders do you see? That's, you know, that's
only flash in the pants.
Yeah,
like Blackburn in New York for the New York Rangers that year.
Right, right.
But that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So I mean, he's Don got Brasso. 11. What's he got? 11 goals, 24 assists. So he's got 35 points. He's plus 8. You know, on a team that doesn't score a whole lot, on a team that overall has a negative 21 goal differential, He's only got 32 penalty minutes, which to me is actually pretty impressive for a rookie defenseman. And to be playing against top-level, you know, guys, top-line guys night in and night out, to only have 32 penalty minutes is pretty impressive. His ice time's 22:14, which is, when you look at league-wide, it's like 55th in the league. But he is ahead of, he's playing more than other top-line guys like Dougie Hamilton. Hamonic and Boychuk are sort of in that top one and two pairing back and forth. He's playing more than them. Playing more than Hampus Lindholm and Anaheim, who's a top pairing guy now. So, yeah, I mean, I just think it's really impressive. 18 years old, playing D like that. This guy's going to be an amazing hockey player.
Yeah, it's definitely a good pick by Florida.
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah, they nailed it with that. I don't think, I mean, who could they have picked? Who could have they picked other than him? I mean, he was the number one, you know, overall pick, but I'm just looking at that draft. I don't, you know. Yeah, they nailed it. They nailed that pick.
Going to the Norris defenseman, since we're talking about defensemen.
Yeah.
This one's a lot more of an open race. ESPN has Piqué Subban as their favorites.
Sure.
Followed by Roman Josi, Chris Letang, Andre Markov, Erik Karlsson. It's truly an open trophy here. It's an open race for a trophy here.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make a case for pretty much, you know, Weber on Nashville, like half the Nashville D-core.
Yeah.
You can make a case for Giordano
Josi
again.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Josi, yeah. Especially, of course. But I mean, this race is truly open. I have no idea who's going to win this one. You could make a case for Doughty, you could make a case for Suter, especially that since the Wild have come back. You know, Pietrangelo.
Yep.
I mean, who do you pick?
Yeah, this one's tough. I don't know. I'll tell you right now, and I might go on this really long-winded explanation as per usual, but I sort of want PK Subban to win because, you know, and we didn't do our podcast last week, and one of the things I did want to mention was, you know, when the Habs went out west and they sort of struggled in California, I saw a lot of things on Twitter about, you know, just kind of boasting about the Western Conference and, hey, this is why PK Subban's Norris doesn't mean anything, you know, because he won it in a shortened season. He only played half the teams, didn't go out west and play those big, bad Western teams.
Oh, whatever.
And I sort of, and you know, you do go back and look at that year and all of the award winners are East Coast. All of them are Eastern Conference teams, right? Except for Taves, which is a Selke trophy, that's pretty much a reputation trophy now that's just going to go to a center every year anyway. But for me, you know, I look back at PK, you know, he had good numbers, you know, like he was pretty damn good in that year. 42 games, I think he had 38 points. That was more points than he had the year before he won the Norris, and he played 81 games. And so I sort of want him to win now just to feel, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't care, but just to sort of feel maybe vindicated that, you know, hey, this guy is a really great player. And yeah, maybe he won it in a shortened season, which for me, I kind of feel weird about any award in a shortened season. It's not a knock on PK at all. But for me, I think I would give it to PK.
I think for me, it's Josi, PK, or Doughty.
Yeah, Josi has... Yeah, it's funny him because, you know, again, Weber's sort of this bridesmaid, isn't he? Always to Lidstrom, to Chara, and now to his own teammate. You know, like, poor guy.
And last one that I'd like to discuss is the Hart. Are you feeling Carey Price for the Hart?
For me, it comes down to three people. It comes down to a guy named Carey, a guy named Price, and then that goalie on the Habs. So I don't see... I understand how people say, like, hey, they have their own award. But don't you feel like, you know, don't forwards also have their own award? You know, isn't the Art Ross always going to go to a forward? You know, don't they also have the Richard trophy that always go to a forward? Don't they also have the Selke that goes to, hey, the best defensive forward, which actually just means the guy that gets the most points, you know, that plays really well, a really good two-way game. It just, the Hart also is always going to go to a forward, you know, 9 out of 10 times. it only goes to a goaltender when they have these just off the wall, phenomenal, like his history making seasons. And Carey Price is doing that. And he absolutely deserves it. I mean, he's earned it.
You know what's hilarious about Carey Price mentioned as the front runner, the Hart Trophy, is that it's such a backhanded compliment on his team. It's basically saying, you're playing for first overall team, like first in division.
Yeah, and tops of the league, not just their division.
Yeah, well, tops in the tide right now.
Yeah.
But, that's probably not going to last. But the only reason you're there is because of Carey Price. And if Carey Price weren't there, you might be able to squeak in as a wild card.
But isn't that...
That is the definition. But, it's also just like telling the Habs they suck.
But if those same, Canadians, Montreal Canadiens make a deep playoff run, do you think they're going to care?
What's happening right now? Ottawa's coming through with a bit of a run on Boston.
Oh, that game today was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
It was, for me, one of the most entertaining games of the year. Probably the most entertaining.
And if Ottawa gets in,
yeah,
I think Montreal's out in the first.
I was thinking that could be a tough matchup. But, the way Detroit's playing too, Montreal might play Detroit in the first round. They're really slipping.
I'm okay with playing Detroit. I'm okay with playing Detroit. I'm okay with playing Tampa in the first round.
Mm-hmm. And Boston, you think too?
Boston, I am okay now. I wasn't for a while there, but I'm okay now.
Yeah, they're a couple of weeks. They're really hot, but they're sort of, cooling off a bit.
But I think Ottawa is a team that scares me the most because they've got Montreal's number.
Yeah, well, and they just had their number too. What, like a week ago, right?
All year, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're red hot, like red hot.
13-1-1 in their last 15. That's insane.
But the only sort of little crack in their armor is the fact that they're riding a hot goalie that's unproven.
Yeah, and that's Andrew Hammond is just playing out of his mind. What is he now to start his career? I just saw it the other day. You're kind of seeing it every day, but I don't have it in front of me. He's undefeated.
To start his NHL career.
Is it now 11 games or 12 games? I can't.
It was his first game over two goals.
Right, yeah.
And I last heard was 13?
I think it's 13, yeah. I think he's like 12-0-1 or 11-0-2 or something like that. It's something insane. His save percentage, I think even after today, is still like .950. Yeah, obviously that's not sustainable. But I think you a lot of people are maybe feeling the same way about Price. Is he going to be able to do this for 3-4 rounds?
I don't know about 3-4 rounds, but he could do this for one round. But it doesn't matter if he does it for a round or not. If they can't score, they're out.
Yeah, scoring is...
It's the one thing about this team. If they can't score, he can't give you a shout-out every game.
No. But you only have to score two goals a game. that seems to be the MO.
That's asking a lot, though, for this team.
Yeah.
Well, if they're crashing down on Pacioretty, and that means now they've put Plekanec with Pacioretty on the same line, if they're crashing down on that line, Galchenyuk's doing nothing.
Yeah, he's
that's
sort
it.
Of,
There's,
yeah.
They've got, they're basically waiting for Eller to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, we're talking about the Habs. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. And like you said, maybe it is sort of a backhanded compliment, but I was just reading the SB, Habs blog, Eye on the Prize, right? Or Eyes on the Prize. Andrew Berkshire had this, he has his own little podcast going, and he also had this article there saying that the last month or so, the Habs are converting their chances at about the same rate as the Sabres, So I think maybe it is a little bit of a backhanded compliment if you give him the price to the rest of the Habs. But, there's some truth to that as well. And who knows? I mean, the playoffs are a different animal. You might get guys like Galchenyuk that, wake up a bit,
Let's switch gears here for a second. Guerin.
Bill Guerin?
Bill Guerin from the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's now an assistant GM with the team.
Yeah.
Was on Hockey Central today. And I can't think today. He was asked, or he was basically sort of told slash asked that his team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, whine a lot on the ice and whine a lot to the refs. And it's probably causing refs to look at them in an unfavorable manner. And he was asked, what do you think? And he basically admitted that the Penguins did whine a lot and they should probably lay off the refs.
Yeah. Well, did you see that Detroit-Pittsburgh game a few days ago, 4 or 5 days ago?
I saw the highlights.
Yeah. And did you see like when there were like six pens in the penalty box? You know, there were like five or six of them in there. They couldn't even sit down. Chris Letang gets tossed from the game because he gets mouthy to the ref. Pittsburgh and Anaheim.
There's a nice gif on that.
Yeah, there is. Pittsburgh and Anaheim, to me, are the two easiest teams to really just completely drive crazy. Anaheim's a good team. Pittsburgh is a good team, though they're really struggling, and now they're without Malkin for a while. But it is so, you saw it in the Philadelphia series a couple years ago. You saw it, you know, you see it with Anaheim time and time again. It's really easy to get under their skin. And when you do, those two teams just completely fall apart. I don't know what it is about them, but it just is. So, yeah, I mean, this is not news. I think it's news maybe because just, you know, Bill Guerin, their assistant GM, is like, yeah, they do. So he's calling out his own players, you know, to play better and to sort of suck it up. But I think most people see that, or at least that's the perception. I mean, do you? How do you feel about it?
Well, I just look back at the game I was watching, the last game I watched with them. They were losing by one goal, and there were about 5 minutes left. And David Perron was going around. All he was doing was grabbing defenseman's sticks, putting it under his arm, and pulling himself down.
Yeah. Was this the Dallas game today, or
it was
just
the
yesterday?
Dallas game? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll put on. I'm not going to be shy about it. I'll put on my Red Wings hat. I'm obviously not the biggest Anaheim or Pittsburgh fan, being a Red Wings fan and having those playoff series against those two teams. But
yeah,
that's kind of exactly how I see it too. I think a lot of people do, but you know, there's probably something to be said for every team out there. I'm sure there's another fan base that feels the exact same way. But it's interesting, you know, like you said, that this is, you know, this isn't something being read on Twitter. This is an assistant GM saying, yeah, like maybe we are doing that a bit too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it's so hard to like them.
The Pens or Anaheim?
Just everything about the Pens, you know what I mean? Like even the individual players, you try to like them. You know, like Crosby gets on Team Canada, and I'm Canadian, and you know you're rooting for him and stuff. You're rooting for the team, but then he just starts playing NHL again, and he just whines. He's still whining so much. I just don't get it.
It's an interesting team because, you know, I think we've talked about this before too, where it's just, you know, in what, 2009, when they won the cup, it was just like, man, just sit back and relax. And these guys are just, you know, they're going to be winning multiple cups. And it just hasn't happened there at all. You know, they just haven't been able to put it together. And I don't know what's going on because they pretty much had the same team. They had the same core for a long time, right? Not the same team, but the same core. You know, Jordan Staal left, but that's a big void to fill. But still, man, I don't know what happened to them. You know, you thought they were gonna do it, and then all of a sudden, Chicago comes along, LA comes along, and then they're doing what everyone thought Pittsburgh was gonna be able to do for a decade. You know?
Yeah. Jaromir Jagr just scored a goal today. It's a very important goal.
He
scored his 718th goal of the year of his career,
right?
Which now he's passing. He just passed Phil Esposito. Phil Esposito in the all-time list. It is now fifth overall.
Yeah, and then the for a little while he had credit for their second goal because he was right there, hopped on a rebound, but I think Brandon Puri ended up getting credit for it. I think he just touched it at the last minute there. So yeah, yeah.
And he's trails Marcel Dion by 13 goals and Brett Hall by 23.
Yeah, so if he plays another year, he's going to get there.
He should get there.
Yeah.
He should get at least Dion.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Hall. He'd get 13 goals next year. Yeah, yeah. What's interesting is, you know, at the trade deadline, I saw this, people were tweeting out this, you know, graphic of Jágr. And when he goes to Florida, they had a comparison between Jágr's career numbers and the rest of the Florida forwards. so Jágr has, at this point, so this is, you know, what, March, whatever the trade deadline was. What was that, March 5th, I guess? So this is, you know, maybe about 2 weeks old. But at that point, Jágr had 717 goals. So he hasn't scored that much since he's been with them. All of the other forwards on Florida had 729 points. Jágr has, at that point, 2 weeks ago, 1,786 points. All the other Florida forwards have 1,748. So he's got 40 more points than them. He's got 202 power play goals. The other Florida forwards have 169. This is all the forwards, right? Combined. Game-winning goals, 127. All other Florida forwards combined, 109. So he basically beats them all out except for goals.
What's interesting about Jágr is he is amazing. He was really, really good in his youth.
Yeah.
And now he's, was it fifth? He's in fifth place all time in points.
Yeah.
Behind Ron Francis. I think he's 7 points behind Ron Francis right now.
Oh, is that it? He's that close. Wow.
And he's gonna be fourth.
Okay.
Probably in his career, he's probably going to come back next year, and he might get 7 points in the last few games. I doubt it, but he'll get close.
Could happen, yeah. Yeah, they're playing well.
But do you place him in your mind? Do you, when you think of, you know, the greats, do you see Jágr? Is Jágr one of the Mount Rushmore, you know, pictures you see, or those guys on skates you see as, oh, those are the greats?
I think... Yeah, two things come to mind. One is, remember that old commercial during the All-Star game or something where it was like, it was Gordie Howe and Gretzky in the Mew. They were, you know, walking, you know, outside in Canada. And then they come across this pond and there's these guys playing hockey on a pond.
Yeah.
And it was like Bure and Jágr. And it was sort of like this, you know, changing of the guard. Kind of this nice moment, and he was one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
And I think maybe, I'm guessing you might have the same sort of struggle I have with Jágr, which is he missed a few years, right? Where he just disappeared, and he went to Europe, and he didn't play. And if he was here, he would have already beaten all these records. You know, he would have passed Philip Esposito years ago.
By a long shot.
He would have
shot.
Passed Ron Francis years ago. And so I think in that sense, if he were here and it was this constant thing, I think we would think of him that way. Or at least me. I don't mean to speak for you or other people.
I think you're right. I think you're right. But that really cost him a legacy.
Yeah, I think it did. And now he's sort of, you know, just... You know, this mercenary that just goes from team to team and just sort of,
I love.
Yeah,
which
teaches
I love.
Guys like how to train and how to stay in shape. And hey, man, it's about flexibility, not always about strength. And and you watch the game today, and every shift, you know, he gets off the ice with like Huberto and these other guys, these other kids, and he's just talking to them. You know, and he's not yelling at him, he's not preaching at him, but he's just saying, you know, like every shift, there's just something to learn, something to teach. Yeah. So, but I think he is one of those guys, and I think people are starting to realize that now. They're sort of reflecting back on his career and saying, like, wow, this guy was amazing. But he sort of disappeared for a while.
I mean, that's what it is. It's just you can't really do that. You can't really let go like that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, was there anybody else? There's nobody else like that, right? Like, there's no one else like Jagr.
I mean, only Lemieux did it because of cancer.
Yeah, I mean, he was in and out, and yeah, he's struggling, health, cancer.
Back problems.
Yeah, just everything, right? But even still, I mean, when he came back, what, he came back and he scored 70 goals, right, in like 60,
yeah, that's another thing too, right? He comes back and he's still a rock star. And he'd probably still be a rock star right now. But Jagr comes back and he could barely hold on to a second line.
Yeah, yeah. But he's sort of energized this team though, you know, and
true.
And you know, for me it's you know, sucks.
One too many losses. Detroit
lost today. But I think Florida, you know, they played well this week and they've outplayed a few teams and they had nothing to show for it. So it was sort of one of those games where it was like the team playing well. You know, they deserve to win, right? You got one team playing well.
They still have a chance. I mean, they're still playing Boston three more times for 6 more points.
Yeah, and that's actually, you mentioned Ottawa. That might help Ottawa because those are going to be really hard-fought games, right? As long as there's not too many three-point games there. You know, I don't know. I don't know what Ottawa's schedule like. They play Boston once more, I think.
The puck is still in Boston's court right now, or Boston's side of the ice right now. Yeah,
but Ottawa's got a favorable schedule. They've got Toronto coming up. They've got the Sharks, who are not very good. They're fading. They're done. And then they got Toronto again, and then Florida. So, man, the Sens. Pesky Sens.
They got a chance. They got a chance. We wrote off the entire conference. Oh,
big time. And yeah, we did. There was like that week where it was like, oh, this is fun. And then Boston caught fire and it was like, this is over. And then here we go again.
Yeah. But then again, it's here we go again. Is it real? Is it going to happen?
Oh, I hope so.
You know what I mean? Like Dallas is on a tear right now and they've made up 1 point in the last 10 games. Do you know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's just next to impossible if you're not in it.
Yeah.
You know, like you look at LA right now, LA's been playing well. I mean, their last 10 hasn't been great, but they've been, you know, they've always been there, and yet they just can't seem to seep in.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting because, I don't know, I just, for some reason, look, I hope it happens, but I just can't see Calgary and Winnipeg making it.
I think the entire NHL. And Vancouver.
Really, to be honest with you, but
I think the entire NHL fan base outside of Los Angeles would like to see LA not make it this year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, can you imagine if both? Well, San Jose is probably done.
Oh man! Can you? What a fall! Yeah. That's it for San Jose, right? That's it. Now this is it. That's it. They're trading everybody now. They've got no choice. Right?
Well, I think what'll happen is they'll trade their GM. You know, those guys are not. Thornton, none of those guys are going anywhere. You know, they don't want to go there.
Move on.
But, you know, I mean, you can't really blame them. It's like they're exercising their right. They've got no movement clauses.
I'm not blaming them, but
it's a nice place to live. And so...
No, I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying...
But yeah, their window is done. It's not working. Their window's closed. Yeah, yeah.
What else can you possibly do with that team?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe... You know, I don't know. Their window's closed. I thought Vancouver's window was kind of
keep Joe, trade Marlowe. What? Like, Marlowe could go. Joe could stay. That could have an impact.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that makes sense. I don't know if he wants to go. I think he's also got a no movement clause.
He's had tons of opportunities to go and he never left.
Yeah.
He was traded. I don't know. I think he's been traded to Montreal 7 times.
Yeah, 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 right. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, like you said, their window's closed unless they do something, you know, with those guys and they get something back for those guys, which I think they could, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, I would love Joe Thornton on my team.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
Take him in a heartbeat.
Oh, man. God, can you imagine Thornton and Pacioretty on the power play? Oh, and Subban. Jeez. That's lights out for most teams right there. Yeah.
He's not the fastest, but he moves the puck fast.
No, and he's still just a great... I mean, I watched a bit of, you know, granted, it's Toronto. We all know what Toronto is and where they're at right now. But, you watch him play. I watched him play today a little bit, and man, he passes the puck so well. Such a great passer. He's still so smart. He's still a really big body. You know, tough to move out there.
Great chant by Winnipeg last time they met up with San Jose, though.
Oh, what was it? What was it?
Who's your captain?
Oh, that's excellent.
Who's your captain?
Well, do they do that for the Habs too, though?
No, because San Jose is completely lost without their captain.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Lack of
yeah,
a captain.
Yeah. God, yeah. I don't. But isn't that weird? I don't know how that. I mean, I know we're sort of going off on a tangent, but how do you take it away from a guy and have all that weirdness sort of in the off season, and then come back and expect things to work out?
There's no problems taking away from the guy. It's not having a plan set in place once you take it off.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They took it off Marleau. They've taken it off Vinny LeCavalier. They've taken, not San Jose, but it's in San Jose, they've taken off Marleau.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been taken off of Vinny LeCavalier when he was young.
Yeah. I remember Madonna. Madonna got it taken away as well.
And it's not a big deal if there's leadership and if there is a plan in place. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't just take it off of Joe and just say, whatever, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
No.
The young guys will step up.
Fight it out. No, you don't want people to fight it out with egos and stuff. You have to have a plan. Like, you know, we're going with no captain. You know? Or keep the C on Joe and talk about it in house about how leadership needs to be spread out a little bit more. We're gonna spread the leadership out. We're gonna talk. We're gonna have different people talk to media. Different people represent the team. Whatever you need to do, but just taking it off is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I guess you know that is the difference, right, between them in the Habs. Like the Habs, it makes sense, right? You do have other leaders there. And it's the right time for those guys too, right?
Well, what happened with the Habs?
Well, because Gionta goes and there's no...
Gionta goes and the person who's supposed to take it is the one who was supposed to take it before Gionta arrived was Markov.
Yeah.
And Markov wants nothing to do with the scene.
Markov, you know, it's interesting because, you know, another Russian player, another great Russian player, Datsyuk is the exact same way.
Yeah.
He just said, look, I just want to go out there, do my thing. I'm an artist. I'm not a leader. And, you know, he is a leader, but I don't think, you know,
but
wears that
so
A and
much,
he's there, but he just doesn't want that, you know?
There's a lot that goes with having a C, especially in a market like Montreal or Detroit.
Yeah, for sure.
But like any market, really, you represent the team, good and bad, but you represent the team to the media. You know, you're the lone voice that the media can get to at 24/7 pretty much anytime they please.
Yeah.
So that's why. And then of course, you know, who else are you going to give it to at the time at the beginning of the year? You had Subban, and then the only other person you could give it to would have been a third or a fourth liner like Brandon Prust. But basically the real captain was their goaltender, but you can't do that after Luongo.
No way. Yeah, well, let's finish things up here with moving on from leaders to now to future leaders, like players such as, I don't know, this guy named Connor McDavid.
Dude, I've got some facts on Connor McDavid.
All right,
okay, this is through 38 CHL games.
Hold on. Spoiler alert. He's good.
Oh, are you sure?
I think so. I think that's where you're going with this.
I've got two little lines of facts here. So
that's
it? This is off TSN through 38 CHL games, comparing him to fellow first overall picks that have had an impact in the NHL.
Who are those picks? Oh, you're going to tell me?
So McDavid compared to MacKinnon, Yakupov, Nugent Hopkins, Hall, Tavares, and Stamkos.
So basically the last, what is that, six?
The last six first overall picks, okay? So Stamkos through the first 38 CHL games, right? So in 38 games, he had 62 points. Pretty good, right? Tavares, 68 points in 38 games. Hall had 68 points also in 38 games. Nugent Hopkins, not as good. He had 49. Yakupov, quite good. He had 65 in 38 games. Mm-hmm. McKinnon. Remember McKinnon last year?
Yeah.
Or a couple of years ago? That whole like hoopla about McKinnon a couple of years ago? He has 65 points in 38 games. That's more than a point a game.
Yeah. And then Crosby, we talked about that last podcast. Crosby had, I can't remember, but...
McDavid.
Yeah.
Had 100 points in 38 games.
Yeah. So just he had more
assists than most of those guys.
Yeah. He's just absolutely tearing it up. Yeah.
And I found this other little tidbit of facts here. Someone adjusted Jack Eichel's stats.
Oh, right. Because the...
That's right. The NCAA into the OHL version of those stats. Mm-hmm. So Jack Eichel right now in 32 games in the NCAA, he had 55 points.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, that is
but
pretty
adjusted,
good.
But adjusted to 38 games in the OHL from this person who adjusted the stats, 89 points.
Oh, that's actually wow. Wow.
Yeah.
How did they make that adjustment? Do you know, or just...
They used an established formula that's been used through... And also adjusting to NCAA, 38 games was going to be 65 points, and then and so forth. So,
okay. People much smarter than us, obviously.
Well, just people with more time, I'm sure.
Wow, so 89. So that's actually... That's better than I would... I would have guessed, yeah, but obviously I don't know this formula or whatever. But yeah, that's not too bad, 89.
But if you think he's getting 55 games in 32, 55 points in 32 games in NCAA.
Yeah. And that's a weird league.
But it's older, right?
Well, yeah, there's older players, but you know that it's like we've talked about that before. You've got older guys, maybe guys that are stronger because you're playing against men.
Less teams.
But, you know, at the same time, older doesn't necessarily mean better, right, talent-wise. I mean, you do have guys that are playing in the NCAA for 4 years that will never get a sniff at the NHL, right?
But you get way more players that are playing 4 years in the CHL or less and never get any kind of sniff at the NHL.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. I'd like to know more about, that adjustment. But, 89 is pretty good. But, I mean, still, 100. McDavid at 102?
100.
God, wow. Yeah.
But it's heads and shoulders over this. Yeah. Over here, guys.
And you know what I was thinking? We talked about this earlier in the year, and it might happen. It won't happen. Well, it could be because, you know, we're both fans of Eastern Conference teams. And, you know, hey, we've got our Game Center Live just like everyone else, so we can watch these guys play whenever we want. But we might get these two guys in the same conference in the same division, because it's very possible that one could go to Edmonton and one could go to Arizona, and I would really like to see that, even though I'd love to see like a McDavid on Buffalo is all in, they're doing everything they can, you know, to make it happen. Don't you kind of want to see both these guys like in the same division?
It would be nice to see them in the same division, one that's outside of the Crosby-Ovechkin division.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, you could have that. You know, I think that was one of our very first podcasts, you know, sort of reminiscing about that rivalry, Crosby and Ovechkin. You kind of had that for a while, and it was great. It was, you know, amazing to watch there for about 4 or 5 years, but maybe you get that out west now.
So just to give you... some a little bit more stats on Sidney Crosby through 62 games on his draft year, so maybe 30 or so games more, he had 168 points.
Wow.
So McDavid is actually outpacing Crosby.
Yeah. I remember we talked about that, the 38 points or 38 games. And he had...
But he's rivaling Crosby, I should say. Yeah. He's rivaling Crosby.
Yeah.
Man, Crosby was good.
Yeah. Still pretty good. He's a whiner, though, huh?